I got a blessing today that's going to fall straight in your hands instead of slipping through your fingers. 1-800-399-7353. Let me sing another song from my CD while you're calling. Three more of you that need help on today. I double D triple dare you to try God through me. If the line is busy, I wouldn't stop until I get my call through. Tell that devil these words. Bishop Uriah said, if you can't help me, please don't stop me. My before Easter special blessing. This is a pre-recorded broadcast, and I'm praying for you, you and even you. 1-800-399-7353. Or you call me, 678-962-3036. That's 678-962-3036. My one day, one way blessing from sweet Jesus. That's 678-962-3036. Call me right now. The number, toll free. Worldwide, this is the Worldwide Blessed Ministry. That's 1-800-399-7353. There's no problem too small. There's none too large for the God I serve. The number you're calling right now, you dial 1-800-399-7353. I got a blessing that I'm guaranteeing straight from God to help God's children. That's 1-800-399-7353. If you want to hit and hit big, that's 1-800-399-7353. I see the clock on the wall. It's time for me to leave you. Until next time, God bless you. God keep you is my prayer.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
All I'm saying is, I'm just making a point to you, is that you have to allow God's will to be primary in your life. His will have to be preeminent. You had to let your will take a second seat to his. His will has to be most important. You have to deny yourself. See, Jesus even said it. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. You just got to deny self. You can't have it your way in the kingdom. It don't always feel good following Jesus. But if you're going to be motivated by feeling all your life, I don't feel right. I feel. I don't feel led to do this. I don't feel led to do that. Well, let me tell you, it ain't all about how you feel. It's about what's in the heart and mind of God. And God doesn't want you living your life in error. Wandering around. What does error mean? It means a wandering, a straying about. Someone who's unstable. They have instability in their life. They can't never settle down. One led astray from the right way. They roam here and there. They just on a roam. Never making a commitment to do anything, and that's error. You don't want to live that way. You don't want to do it. All right. Number three. What are the characteristics of the manifestation of arrogance and being proud? Mocking and scorning and malice toward the righteous. If you have a spirit of pride on you, all of these may not be manifesting in you, but the potential is there for you to fall in any of these. And see, I understand why God resists the proud more today than I did before I started teaching this. Because I see what happens when that spirit of pride starts working in you. I'm going to tell you, it makes you a very devilish person. And God have to resist you because of what you're capable of doing. And not only that, I found out that God has reserved judgment for the proud. There's a day of reckoning with God with everybody that doesn't submit and doesn't humble themselves under his mighty hand. There's a day of reckoning for the proud. There's a day of judgment coming. He's going to deal with the proud. He's going to deal with them. So mocking and scorning, malice toward the righteous. I'm going to give you scriptures on all these in just a minute. Let me go through the list. Number four, a proud person will lie against you. And that word lie means that they will smear a lie on you. They will glue one to you. They will stick a lie on you. It ain't even true. But they'll tell it so good that it's like glue. Even though it's a lie, people begin to believe it because it's like glue stuck to you. Proud person will lie. They will lie against you. They'll make up a lie on you. I remember when I was a little boy in the third grade, we had a bully in the school, and all bullies have pride in them till somebody humble them. Right? Bully had to be humble. That means somebody had to show up that ain't scared of them. Right? Well, we had a guy in our class that bullied everybody. He was a terror at recess. He would take the ball from the whole group playing baseball, just take the whole thing and say, game over. And he would hold on. I got in a fight with him one day over the baseball. So he got to where he didn't mess with me no more after that, but because I whooped him. He didn't bully me no more. But before then, he would take stuff from you. And then you would tell him, say, I'm going to go tell the teacher. He said, go tell the teacher. I don't care. I'll just make up a lie on you. That stopped you from telling the teacher because you didn't know how big the lie he was going to put on you. You see, he would lie on you, so that prevented anybody from going to the teacher because he would just tell you, I'll just tell a lie on you. I'll just make up a lie on you, and I'll say you did something. And then you thought that I'm going to have to defend myself in front of the teacher. He's going to tell a lie. What are he going to say? So you couldn't go to the teacher. That's how he kept his thumb on everybody. I'll just lie on you. That spirit was at work in him. He'll lie against you. Number five, a proud person will deal perversely, crooked, without a cause. They'll cheat you. They'll deal with you crookedly because that spirit is a disrespectful spirit. Number six, a proud person will oppress you if they give an opportunity. They'll keep you under their thumb. They will keep pressure on you. They will oppress you and take your joy from you. Number seven, they will set a trap for you by some enticement. They'll lure you into a trap. They'll set a bait on a trap. Now, this is what the Bible says. You may have never heard this before, but this is what the Bible says about the proud. This is what they do. They will lay a trap for you. In other words, the Bible says that you can't trust in a proudful man. Don't put your trust in a person of pride. Because they'll turn on you. When it come down between you and them, guess who it's going to be? If they got pride in them, it's self-preservation. Self-preservation. Whatever I got to do to keep myself straight, if I got to lie on you, if I got to cheat you, If I got to set a trap for you, whatever you do to take care of number one. Self-preservation is the law of the land. Number eight, a person of pride will stir up strife, will keep strife, keep a mess going. They love to boast, and they love to keep an argument going. They love controversy. Just love. They're not satisfied unless they got something going on, all mixed up people, you know, at odds with one another. That's the spirit of pride at work. Truth is, most people don't even know it's working in them. Because pride is easily to detect in other people, but difficult to detect in yourself. That's why it's so damnable. Because it can be working in you, and you not even know that that's what's at work. Pride always thinks self is right. Pride always justifies. Number nine. Person of pride will rise up against you as an adversary. If it come down between, like I said, you and them, it's going to be you. They're not going to put you first. Person of pride always puts themselves first. They don't care if nobody else gets served as long as I get served. Now, this can work in any area of your life. Now, I'm just using it as an example because we got a good hospitality group. Our hospitality group here, their first priority is to make sure everybody's served. Their number one job is service. But you go in a lot of places, and the hospitality group serves themselves first. You know what they do? Fix their plates before anybody get in there. Set their food aside, and then if you run out and you ain't got no more left, they say, baby, it's all gone. Well, you got all that stuff you carrying home. That wasn't for you to pack. Our people don't do that. Because we tell you the truth, your number one mission is to make sure everybody's served. Then if there's anything left, I don't care what you do with it. But you don't ever tell somebody, we ain't got enough, and you got stuff stacked under there already. That's for me. That's mine. See, that pride can be working right there. Service is no longer the main object. It's self-service. Amen. Now, let me give you some scriptures on all the things I've been telling you. Psalms 119, verse 51. Psalm 119 gives a lot of descriptions on pride. Psalm 119, verse 51 says, the proud mock and scorn the righteous. Psalms 119, 69, the proud will smear, plaster, glue, or stick a lie against you. Stick a lie to you. They'll lie. Psalms 119, 78, the proud will deal perversely or crooked without a cause. Psalms 119, 85, the proud will dig a pit for you to fall in. Oh, they'll set you up. They can move you out of the way if you better gone. Even on your job, you can watch people that have that pride working in them because they will set you up for a fall. They'll talk about the boss, just get a few words out of you. And then they go on to the boss. Guess what so-and-so said about you? They set a trap for you. That's why when I was working, if they start talking about somebody, I just ease my way on out of that. I'm out of here. Nobody going to set a trap for me. You're going to say what I said. They ain't going to be able to say I said nothing because I'm not there. Amen. You have to watch these things on your job. Because you have people that move in this shit. They'll set you up. You have bosses that will set you up if they think that you have great potential and they're afraid that you might outdo them one day. They'll smear a lie on you. Just tack glue one on you. Say you did something you didn't, you came to defend yourself. But your best defense is God. Because God will take care of the humble. All you got to do is stay humble. Hallelujah. You keep yourself humble before God, he'll fight for you. Amen. He give more grace to the humble. And no matter what they do, it'll backfire because God will fight for the humble. Psalm 119, 22, the proud will oppress you. Psalm 140, verse 5, the proud will set a trap for you to fall in. They will hide a snare. They will set a bait or a lure. Psalm 28, 25 and 26 said, the proud will stir up strife. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. That's what the Bible says. Now, look at God's attitude toward the proud. Psalm 94:2 says, the proud are rewarded with judgment. Psalm 101 verse 5 says, God will not put up with a person with a high look and a proud heart. God's not going to put up with it. Psalm 138:6 says, for though the Lord is high, yet he has respect for the lowly, bringing them into fellowship with him. But the proud and haughty he knows and recognizes only at a distance. He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. He says the lowly person he will bring into fellowship with him. But the Bible says that he only knows the proud from a distance. It means they can't get close to God. First of all, because the proud resists God. God resists the proud, but the proud resists him. They can't have intimate knowledge of him. Proverbs 6:17 says, a proud look, the spirit that makes one overestimate himself and underestimate others, a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood are things that God hates. Hallelujah. God has reserved judgment for those that maintain a prideful attitude. Now, judgment may not come immediately, but you just don't want to take no chances on something like that. You just don't want to do it. Psalm 31:23 says, love the Lord, all his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but the proud he pays back in full. Psalm 44 said, don't trust in or look to the proud, the defiant ones. Psalm 86:14 said, the proud will rise up against you. So our key for us as a church is to make sure that we are examining our heart for any tendencies toward pride, and then to ask God to forgive us and repent, and then go on and to ask God to teach us humility, teach us the fear of God. The psalmist prayed, Lord, teach me to do your will. He said, teach me how to follow and how to walk before you. David prayed that over and over and over. I know when you start talking about a message like this, this is not one of these jumping, shouting, hallelujah messages. But if you'll take this word to heart, God will put something on the inside of you that will cause doors to open in your life. He'll give you more grace. And every one of us need more grace in our life working. How many of you need some more grace? I'm going to tell you, you can't get it by being full of pride. God's cleaning us up because there's something from heaven that he has ordained for us to walk in, and he's positioning us for it right now, and he wants us to be clothed in humility. He wants us to keep a humble spirit about ourselves and not to have an overestimation of who we are, but to see ourselves in line with the word. You are everything that the Bible says you are. You are who God says you are. You do have what he says you have, and you can do what he says you can do. But you shouldn't go beyond that. You shouldn't go anything beyond that is boasting. We have to learn how to give God the glory. So I just wanted to share those things with you. Let me close with these few scriptures right here. 1 Peter 5:5. Turn over to 1 Peter 5. You see, Jesus is our example in humility. And we have to maintain a servant's heart. And you have to have humility in prayer. You have to have humility in faith. Do you know that humility is a big part of your faith working? The faith of God don't work in a proudful heart. First of all, someone with pride won't even seek after God. The Bible says the proud seek not the Lord. Neither is he in their thoughts. So it takes faith to call on God. If you got a prideful heart, you're not going to seek after him. So for your faith to work, you're going to have to stay humble and know that it's God, he is the Lord, and that you submit to him. Y'all in 1 Peter? Verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now these are instructions to the elders here. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, that's money or personal gain, but of a ready mind. Hallelujah. That means voluntarily. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. You see, elders in the church have the responsibility of being examples to everybody else. So you can't have a proud pastor, a puffed up. Let me use the word puffed up. A puffed up pastor. But you can't have puffed up leadership either that think they're better than everybody else. Leadership have to be a servant first. We look to serve. And then the congregation have to be the same. You're going to see this works both ways. He says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. So you see, God does reward humility, but he also rewards the proud. But their reward is not good. But we have a good reward for our service. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Do you see what God's going to do? When you humble yourself, exaltation is coming. In other words, God knows how to raise you up the way you need to be. That's why you ain't got to be struggling for a position. Amen. Trying to run over people. See, in the corporate world, that's what they do. Step on anybody you got to step on. Get where you got to go. No matter who you got to kick in the dust to get where you're going. Look, I worked in that environment. Some people would do anything for a promotion. They lie. They cheat. Some of them steal. They backbite. I had a guy try to get me fired. Talked about me low. I'm listening to him on the speakerphone. Let me tell you, all these guys you think real nice, big corporate guys, they're so nice and pleasant and everything. But boy, let me tell you something. When there's got to be blame placed somewhere, it is look out for number one. It is cover myself. And who can we go after to pin this on? So one of the guys, he wasn't that high up, but he tried to pin it on me. Just talked about me. The Lord said, just be quiet. Don't defend yourself. So I didn't say a word. And you know what? God vindicated me. I kept my job and got the highest performance rating you can get over that one deal. Because God fought my battle for me. He just told me, stay humble. I'll take care of it. Because I didn't have no malice in my heart. They didn't even keep my heart right toward that guy. I ain't mad at that guy to this day. I ain't mad at him. I ain't got no grudge on him. I remember what he did. But I don't remember it in a bad way. I only remember it when I'm talking to you guys about it. I don't sit at home thinking about what he did. It only comes up when I'm ministering, when the Lord, you know, just kind of bring it to my memory that I can help somebody with that illustration. Because I know some of y'all working in tough environments. You got all kind of people around you. But you can't fall into that trap. And you can't let that haughty spirit get on you, because it look like people like this getting ahead. How many of you know it look like the proud always winning? First of all, because they got great swelling words. They know how to talk. But in the end, it's the humble that get exalted. And God will abase the proud. He will expose those lies. And with that guy talking about me, the Holy Ghost exposed all of that. But when this guy started attacking me, another man way up, he said, now, wait a minute. You ain't going to pin all this on Greg. He said, ain't nothing wrong with what Greg did. He said, all of us had a part in this. This man told us about this problem. You're not going to pin this on him. I didn't have to say nothing. God had somebody, a ram in the bush, so to speak. Praise God. Thank God he did. God will help you in any arena that you're in. He'll help you on your job. He'll help you at home. He'll help you among your associates and your friends. But you got to keep him number one, and you got to keep on pursuing his will. And then you have to let his will trump your will. You say, Lord, not my will, your will be done. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost got a plan. He knows what he's doing. And so we have to be clothed with humility. Now, in the setting here, in this scripture here, he says, humble yourself under the hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Then he tells you how to humble yourself. How do you humble yourself? Casting all your cares on him. See, if you don't cast all your cares on him, you're walking in pride. Because you're telling the Lord you got it. You don't need his help. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. You have to believe the Lord cares for you and that he's going to fight for you. If he told you to cast it and walk away from it. Give it to him and leave it alone. God is not some schizo. He's not going to forget that you gave it to him. You know how sometimes you remind him, Lord, I gave this to you. He know when you gave it to him. He got it. Now you just trust and rest. Some of you would have a whole lot less stress in your life if you just acted on this scripture right here. A humble person will trust in the Lord. He'll be just like a child. That a child believe a parent, don't he? Let me tell you. When school time rolled around in our family when we was growing up, when mama said we was going to get school clothes and school supplies, it was no question about it. None. We go throughout the whole neighborhood. We go in town Saturday. What y'all going to do? Go and get them school clothes. How you know you go in town? Mama say so. Mama say we going. And you fight over what mama say. Better not call mama a lie. Man, don't call my mama no lie. Mama say we going. That's just the way it is. And sure enough, Saturday roll around and we go to town and get them school supplies. We don't worry about staying up at night wondering we're going to get the school supplies and the new clothes. God gives grace to the humble, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Then he tells you this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Don't be silent. You got to resist the devil. You casted your cares. All right, but then he said, now, be alert, be watchful. You still have an adversary. He'll try to give those cares back to you. You got to resist the care coming back on you. He said, no, I gave that to the Lord. And when you do, I'm going to tell you, God's going to come through for you. I'm a living witness. How many of y'all are living witness of that? That God will take care of you if you trust him. He never fails. See, the Bible says that the Lord is a stronghold to those who trust in him. He's my stronghold. Can't nobody break through him. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble to those that trust in him. The Bible says in Nahum 1:7, says the Lord knows those that trust in him. He know when you're trusting, and he know when you're trying to fake it. You can't fake trust in God. You can't fool God, you're trusting him. You got to get in this word. You got to meditate into this word, get in you, and then allow the Holy Ghost to breathe life into that word that he's given to you. And that'll be your stability, and that'll be your direction. That would be your light in a dark place. What do? When you don't know what to do, you cast your cares. You make sure you're walking in love. You check your heart out for wrong motives or wrong things that you've done, and you repent of your sin. Everybody say repent. That's not a dirty word. That repentance brings life. So we have repented unto life. Amen. When we acknowledge our sin and say, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore, we have positioned ourselves to receive life from God. Hallelujah. And that takes humility to repent. Sometimes it's hard to get people to the altar. You know why? They have pride in their heart. I can't go up there. What they going to think? What difference does it make? God talking to you. You listen to God or them folks around you. People you concerned about, you ought not be concerned about anyway. God probably dealing with them. You ever thought about that? Maybe the person you concerned about, God dealing with them, and they waiting on you to make a move. Well, if so-and-so, like I was doing with Betty. Lord, you tell Betty to go up there, I'll go. Betty said, he ain't said nothing to me. I asked her twice. Betty, you sure the Lord ain't talking to you about joining? She said, no, he ain't saying nothing to me. The Lord said, I'm talking to you. You go join this church right now. And I did. Praise God. I'm glad I did. Father, we thank you for the word today. Lord, we don't want to oppose you in anything that we do. We do not want to resist you. The scriptures speak of men who resisted the Holy Ghost. Lord, we don't.